You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The COVID-19 pandemic saw wide-reaching policy interventions to save lives and keep our hospitals open and emergency beds available. Over the course of lockdowns, traffic lights, vaccines and mandates, the government at the time found that increasingly vocal opposition groups grew in response to their efforts. Protesting the pandemic control measures, often viewing them as conspiratorial threats or simply the hostility and division that marked the period of time, can be seen to this day. Following an inquiry into our pandemic response done by the Labour government, momentum grew for another look. This week, we saw the release of the second inquiry. To get her perspective on the second inquiry, I spoke to Associate Professor at the University of Auckland, Dr. Susie Wiles, about the COVID-19 inquiry and her takeaways on social trust and cohesion. So there's been the release of this inquiry into the COVID-19 pandemic response. What were your first thoughts and takeaways looking at this? Was there anything that surprised you?
So I guess I'll say first that this is over 1,000 pages long. and I did get an embargoed copy of it on Monday, which I had a couple of hours to read before going off and doing some teaching. I've had a very cursory look at it. I guess the important thing to say is that this is phase two of the inquiry. So we had a phase one that was ordered by the previous government, and that reported, I think, 2024. And then this inquiry, as part of the inquiry, was ordered by the new government. It was sort of part of their coalition agreement. And it was a very specific to look at a particular period of time, so February 2021 to October 2022. And they really were interested in sort of decisions around vaccine mandates, you know, how the vaccines came about, things around lockdowns, and then testing and tracing technologies. I guess the important thing to remember about that period of time, so that was when, you know, we were transitioning out of our alert system into the traffic lights and then into the all hell breaks loose. You know, we had two really big waves of COVID caused by Delta and Omicron. And then we also had the Parliament protests, right? And I guess many of us, when this new inquiry was kind of brought about, we were concerned because the people who don't believe COVID exists or who, you know, don't agree with vaccination were really happy about this phase of the inquiry, because I think they thought that this was going to be, you know, it's going to find in favour of many of the conspiracy theories that they believed in. So what's really, I guess, nice is that they've, you know, the commissioners have looked at all of the evidence, including, you know, this huge, like, 250-page booklet, really glossy booklet that was put together by Voices for Freedom, who are one of the main anti-COVID, anti-vaccine, anti-lockdown kind of groups. So they've considered all of their evidence. They've considered, you know, the thousands of pieces of evidence, listened to lots and lots of people. And on balance, they've basically come to the same conclusion as the first part of the inquiry, which was that, you know, these were extraordinary times and the government of the time did the best they could with what little information they had, you know, and that we had one of the best responses in the world. You know, we at one point, we actually had less deaths than would be expected normally, whereas, you know, in every other country, they were losing lots and lots of people. But of course, that doesn't mean that we did everything right, and there are definitely things, you know, that could be improved. And that's the point of the inquiry, is to say, you know, okay, so that happened. What can we learn from that to weather the next storm? And so I guess the really important takeaway for me was that they have been very clear in this report, you know, that the next storm is going to come and we are less prepared now than we were for COVID. So that is a really striking thing. I mean, it's what myself and many other experts know, but I think it's really important that people understand that.
Right, and this report could help us prepare for the next one.
Yes.
As suggestions?
Absolutely. I mean, there are tons of recommendations. There were lots of recommendations from the first one, and I'm not sure whether any of those have been taken on board yet. There are 24 from this one, and they're kind of grouped into four overarching lessons. The one that I was really interested in relates to lesson four, and this is about kind of our readiness for social impacts, and it's all about recovering from this pandemic and sort of preparing for the next. And the inquiry are recommending that some agency in New Zealand should be tasked with monitoring evidence of trust and social cohesion, and then having policies that will help to improve these. Because that's one of the things that we've seen through the COVID pandemic is, you know, the sort of fracturing where we have some people now who are, you know, very anti-government, very anti-institution. I mean, some people who are living in a bit of an alternate reality. And, you know, and this impacts on our social cohesion. And for me, one of the really important drivers of this sort of fracturing of social cohesion is misinformation and disinformation, right? So fake and misleading information that's sort of put out there trying to fracture us, trying to impact on our democracy, and it's been very successful all around the world. So I think that part of that monitoring of our social cohesion also needs to be monitoring the things that are impacting it, like misinformation and disinformation. Because we weren't prepared for COVID or for this particular strand of a pandemic, or that they really had to sort of make it up on the fly, right? They were doing the best that they could. And so now that we know what kind of things need to happen, the important thing is to say, okay, well, can we have some structure around if we need to do this again? How can you do that really transparently and then, you know, for the shortest amount of time, right? So if you need those extraordinary powers, ensuring that there's oversight and ensuring that they don't stay for too long.
Yes, I saw Professor Mark Wilson summarize the lessons as be prepared, be transparent, and be careful. Do you agree with
yes.
that? That sounds
yes.
about right to you?
Yeah. Yes, I think that's definitely. Yeah, and I think it's really nice to hear the inquiry commissioners or, you know, read what they said about just how extraordinary the times were, you know, and they clearly have immense respect for the people who are making these really difficult decisions. And I think one of the accusations that's been thrown at the previous government and ministers and experts is that, you know, they weren't considering everybody's rights and thoughts and everything. And actually, they were trying to balance really, really difficult things. I remember doing some interviews for UK media, like just as we were going into our first lockdown in March 2020, you know, and by that stage, the UK was also going into lockdown. They had widespread transmission and lots of deaths already. And so the journalists were saying to me, what did New Zealand know? Why is New Zealand acting like this? You know, why didn't the UK do this? What evidence did you have? You know, and I said, we all had the same evidence, right? We all saw what was happening in China. We all saw what was happening in Italy. We all saw how quickly hospital systems became overwhelmed. But different governments did different things, kind of based on ideology, based on politics, based on values. When you're in that hot seat having to make those decisions, your values and your ideology do inform what decisions you make.
I want to drill into this tension that developed, that grew from people that didn't trust the government and through the process of the lockdowns and the restrictions had that trust seemingly eroded deeper and became very entrenched. And then we saw that develop into the protests and into the sort of hostile environment that a lot of people, decision makers, faced at that point in time. Do you feel like perhaps a report like this coming out now that group of people in particular really petitioned for could be a moment of healing for the country? It seemed like there was such a scar that was left in the wake of it all that we haven't necessarily moved past in a way.
I mean, there are definitely very deep scars. I think one thing we mustn't underestimate is just how people were manipulated by external forces By that, I mean that there have always been people and groups who will take advantage of a situation to push their agenda, right? So very early on in the pandemic, we saw what was called the disinformation dozen. So there were a group of social media accounts, mostly in the USA, you know, grifters who sold nonsense, like whether it was, you know, magical water or bleach or, you know, some supplement or books or whatever. And when COVID came, they just pivoted and used COVID as the thing to push whatever it was they were selling, right? They started to spread all this fake and misleading information about vaccines, about viruses, about PCR tests, all sorts of things. And we saw that, you know, infiltrate into New Zealand, like people here would pick up the stuff from overseas, repackage it for a New Zealand audience, and then use it essentially to pull people into their little kind of conspiracy or their way of thinking, or, you know, trying to use it to sort of create this rift, right, this trying to impact democracy in this way. Russian troll farms were targeting New Zealand, and like the amount of disinformation being consumed by people in New Zealand was like 30% more than was, you know, being consumed in Australia and in the USA. So there was this big targeting or a consumption of this fake and misleading information. There were forces at play who were preying on us because they were trying to influence, you know, our democracy. And they succeeded in pulling a lot of people down with them. And so I think for a lot of them, they wanted this inquiry because they thought it was going to be the, you know, it was going to show them the smoking gun, but there was no smoking gun. And so I think for those people, I don't think this will help. I don't think this, they're going to go, oh, we were wrong. You know, they're even going to be further down their rabbit hole. They're now going to just say, well, this inquiry was a whitewash again kind of thing. So it's really, really hard how we bring those people back.
Yeah, indeed. Do you feel like people getting lost in counter-narratives that seem sort of purposefully opposed to the government, do you think that's inevitable when we put these restrictions that are so outside of the norm? Or do you feel like it really is just entirely accountable to misinformation?
I mean, there's lots of things at play, right? I mean, there are people who are have had really terrible interactions with governments, with institutions, you know, and that's why that they are, you know, nervous, you know, or anti-institutions. That's completely understandable. And then there are those who have been completely manipulated by these outside actors. And some of them are, you know, states like Russia, and some of them are groups like Voices for Freedom, right? So they are people who are being manipulated for an agenda they don't really know about, perhaps. And I guess one of the really difficult things is that, you know, social media, the internet has made all of this worse. And now generative AI means you don't even know what you're seeing is real or hearing is real, right? Has it just been made to manipulate you? So we face really difficult time. Our information landscape is just so broken. It's so easy to spread misinformation and disinformation. And it's easier to spread that stuff than it is to spread real things. And once a lie is gone, you know, it is gone. And it is very hard to then get people to know what the truth actually was. And I guess, well, I haven't read the report in enough detail to know whether they've put anything in there about legislation to help protect us from these platforms and, you know, this ability to do stuff. Like, you know, the very beginning of the pandemic, some social media platforms were trying to moderate and say, you know, is this fake or misleading information? Now, many of the platforms actively encourage it. You know, they are like, yes, is this fake or misleading? Brilliant. We'll send it out to, you know, millions and millions of people. So that's the kind of thing where the approach that we've taken in the past of, you know, just trying to coax these platforms into doing good, not being harmful, has completely and utterly failed. And legislation is the thing that's needed. So that, to me, all goes into that bit around social cohesion. Is there's always going to be attacks on our social cohesion when we've got these huge platforms run by billionaires who don't like people, you know, and engines that basically make things up and you don't know whether what you're looking at is real or fake.
All right, I'm going to have to wrap things up soon so someone else can get into this studio. Thank you very, very much for talking to me this morning, Susie.
You're very welcome. All right, take care.
Is there anything you want to sort of say quickly before we go?
Oh, I don't know whether that was the direction you're expecting this to take. But
no, I mean,
for me, the misinformation and disinformation is super important because that time in our COVID response was completely like taken over, I think, by misinformation and disinformation. The government were taken by surprise, and we should never be taken by surprise like that again.
Yeah, it definitely seems like that's in a lasting sense the scars, you know, that the impact that really carried over. The loss of trust.
Yeah, and you can even see this now actually in the way that it's being reported. There's various ministers who, you know, are holding up, they're waving the report and going, see, we told you lockdowns were too long. But actually, if you read the report, you know, it was by a matter of days. So it's interesting how everyone can take a report and sort of, you know, bend it to their ways. And most people are not going to read the 1,000-page report and go, oh, you were misleading us about that. Or, you know, that's not actually what they said.
All right. Well, I should leave you here now. Thank you very, very much for joining me. Ka kite.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. That was Associate Professor at the University of Auckland, Dr. Susie Wiles, talking about the COVID-19 inquiry and her takeaways on social trust and cohesion.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.